sit up at night looking for these things, Gary?
I think he does. It's like, it always makes me smile. I love that.
Whatever the topic, there is a song that has been sung about it, and Gary will find it.
Yeah, when I found this song last night, I just finished listening to
right.
the Allman Brothers.
I was right. He was up at night looking for
it. I was listening to Southbound by the Allman Brothers and then going to this children's song. I said, what is going on with my mind?
We're joined with Farmer Greg here at Rosie on the Woo-hoo! House, along with Bill McDormand of the Rocky Mountain Seed Alliance, talking about the Great American Seed Up that's happening today at Phoenix Baptist.
Yep, North Phoenix Baptist North Phoenix Church Baptist. And the Uptown Farmers Market. In fact, if you haven't been to the Uptown Farmers Market, it's every Saturday morning, and then in October it starts on Wednesdays. It is the rocking market. It is amazing. It's huge. It's in a bow over there. It's done an amazing job of it. So check out Uptown Farmers Market as well.
And that parking lot is huge.
Oh, it's 40 acres or something like that. So there's plenty of parking for us.
Plenty of parking and plenty of room for exhibitors of the farmers market.
Yeah, exactly.
So you have a huge variety of local honeys and goat
milk
and soaps,
and meat and food, and yeah, it's a really rocking market.
And around the side and the is the Great American Seed Up in what building?
We're in Building B. It's the Fellowship Hall.
Okay.
And it's a big room. Come on down and check it out.
And that's 10 to 2
10
today.
To 2 today, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, and just so you know, it is $7.50 to get in the door. What that does is that that gets you your classes and a sheet to be able to scoop.
And classes start at 11?
Classes start at
11,
yeah.
Okay, perfect. So $7.50 to get in, and that gets you all the classes from all the great speakers that are going to be there.
Yep.
Covers the cost of the room and utilities and guest speakers.
All that stuff. Yep.
That's a pretty reasonable deal. I think you would spend for 10 different seed packs anywhere else, your priority or for
$25 to $40. Yeah. So here's the other thing about the seed. The scoops are designed to give you at least 10 times what you would get in a packet of seeds. So if you're spending $3 on a packet of seeds, basil seeds, you get a teaspoon of basil seeds, which has 3,000 seeds in it, and for 75 cents. Is that what, or was it?
No, they're 75 cents.
75 cents.
I just filled the bucket.
So, for 30 or 40 bucks, you can get all the seeds you'll ever need for the rest of your life. And it's designed that way. It's designed that way.
And something I just found out during the break, I've mentioned this multiple times, Greg, is we need to figure out a way to record what the conversation during the break is and offer that on the podcast. Because so many times, you know, we can do a lot of things here, but we can't stop the clock, especially when there's a news break.
They'll right.
You know, ABC will cut you off. They're very picky
about
Gary,
that. Well, Gary, can't you add that to the podcast? That could be a bonus for the podcast.
I don't see why not.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
We need to close that circle, because one of the things I learned on that is when you think of Arizona, do you think ancient agriculture?
Oh, yeah.
Bill, share the story about the ag site that you were talking about during the break.
The oldest recording evidence of agriculture in the United States is in a dig just north of Tucson in Marana, Arizona. And that's the first time we found evidence that hunter-gatherers had stopped and were actually growing something. And it's actually, we think, and there's arguments around it, but some of the best knowledge is that it was chapalote corn. It was corn that was their beautiful, 12-inch long ears of this root beer colored corn that they grew for flour that they were grinding. And so, a huge amount of civilization had taken place for 4,700 years. It probably took that long to get corn to move that far north. It doesn't like to go north. Doesn't like the day length, doesn't like the shorter seasons. And every time you go north, that starts to happen. So finally, there's evidence, about 4,000 years ago in Tucson that corn had finally made it. And it took about another 3,000 years.
To get it to Alaska?
No, it took longer than that. It took 3,000 years before you start to see it very much in other parts of the United States. And then it's almost like overnight, corn's everywhere. And it's somebody found a variety that finally worked. And we know that humans pass seeds around quickly. Once we find something that works, we share it quickly.
Yeah. And over that course of time, could you still come back to What was that brand?
Chapalote.
Chapalote. Could I find a chapalote seed still?
Oh, yeah. We've got them, actually. I've got some. We've had them in the past at the seed up.
We don't have them
this year. But it's a beautiful, but there are thousands of varieties of corn that it took all the way through that whole process that stopped in little river valleys or were taken to different kinds of places. And that's the general concept we were talking about. As we go back and find these older varieties, they're actually more adaptable. That you could get these corns and take them anywhere. And not all of them are going to work, but there's enough diversity in the population that something probably will. And that's what the gentleman with the Anasazi beans. I'll bet there's some of his beans will work for him if he just keeps planting them until he finds the ones that work.
Well, and we have a really cool kind of corn that actually, when it was first introduced about, 4 years ago, four or five years ago, it crashed the servers that was selling it. It was that popular.
Actually, it was the Discovery Channel. So website did a picture. It's the corn is called Glass Gem. And you can go, if you want to see it, it's the only vegetable variety I know of that has its own Facebook page. There's about 12,000 followers from around the world, and people all go on and post their pictures of it. But it is every breathtaking color in the rainbow, from fluorescent pink to blues to whatever. And all of that was in corn somewhere, but it was finally expressed. It was a Cherokee man who was actually taught corn genetics in Oklahoma, Carl Barnes, that was playing around with old varieties and crossing them, that this variety came out. And I was gifted some, and I took them to Native Seed Search when I was the director there. And we introduced it one time, and the next thing you know, it's crashing websites around the world because the picture
is stunning.
You can go to Google Images, Glass Gem Corn, and you could start the whole, there are pages of these pictures of this. And we have that, we do have glass gem at the seed up.
Wow, it's gorgeous. I'm looking at the picture right now. That could fit in a cornucopia with vegetables around it. It's very Thanksgiving looking, I guess you'd say.
Not to give away the entire content of what will be in y'all's classes today, but Bob's in Tucson, and he wants to know about how to start seeds. So maybe we'll bring him on air and talk to him on getting it started. Welcome to the conversation, Bill.
Morning, guys.
Bob, I'm sorry.
Hey.
Bob, let me introduce you to Bill and hey, Farmer Bill. Greg.
Hey, I think it's called Techland. The little tiny red chili pepper, it's like up there with the heat range of the chiltepín.
Right. Okay.
And I had a 20-year-old plant that died this year.
Oh.
And I don't know, that usually I let the birds, they eat them off my plant, and then they go up in the tree, and then they plant them in the tree well. But it's not going to get done this year. How can I have some saved. How do I start those plants?
Well, you know, the peppers co-evolve with birds, probably. You know, birds aren't affected by the heat. And so the original, all of our modern peppers, capsicum annuums, come from chiltepines, the mother plant. It's like all corn came from teosinte we were talking about. And birds are the way those seeds were spread. So they're used to being going through their digestive tract.
Oh, right.
And so you can mimic that with a slight acid soak. Vinegar.
Oh.
So that's what I would do, is like water down some vinegar. It doesn't have to be very strong. And I don't, you may even find, Google up some more specific instructions. But you'll mimic what goes on in a digestive system of a bird with a slight acid soak before you plant them. And so that's what I would try to do.
And not for very long.
Well, I would soak them overnight and then try to plant them.
Yeah, and I would do that, given you have a limited supply of these seeds, I'm assuming I would do that with two or three seeds, try and start it that way, and then, until you find success. Don't use all of your seeds at once.
Yeah, never do that.
Yeah, never do that.
I'm sitting here laughing because you're talking about time, and Greg, you're always talking about observing nature. So you could get a bird and feed it a seed and time it to see how long it takes to pass, and that's how long you soak your seed.
There you go.
Somebody will hear this and do their PhD on it, I'm sure.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Seeds are funny things, man. Sometimes it takes fire for a seed to sprout. Sometimes there are seeds that only sprout after they've gone through the digestive system of a bird or another animal. They're amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
You know, something we do with seeds occasionally in the summertime that when the flies get really bad, mm-hmm. it's amazing how smart animals and nature is. But we'll put just sunflower seeds in our horse troughs, you know, with the hay, and they'll sit there and eat it. And what that does is the birds then come and scratch at the manure, and it keeps flies, you know, it dries out the manure before the flies can hatch.
That's brilliant. That is absolutely brilliant.
I learned that one from Mark Salem. I can't take credit for that, but it works.
Still, there you go.
So there's another use for seeds you didn't even know about, fly control.
Yeah, no kidding.
What a great, you know, observation. This is, we're coming back. We're learning how to see what's going on around us again and find natural, you know, solutions to these problems instead of, you know, trying to spray something.
So I want to touch on the why. Why is it important to save seeds? Because there's, you know, there's what, three companies own?
More than 60% of the world's seeds now. You know, if the centralization that happened to banks in the 80s and 90s, you know, where we ended up with banks too big to fail, that's what happened to seed companies. And, you know, it's not that they were doing what they wanted to do. They were maximizing their, you know, return for their shareholders. And you do that by increasing profit. And mm-hmm. you increase profit by narrowing the number of products that you sell and getting a few products that you can sell big. Right? And that's really great for business. But when you lose 90% of all the little varieties of things that were spread out all over this beautiful continent two generations ago, all those varieties that were adapted to each little ecoregion and cultural niche, mm-hmm. all that diversity was disappeared. And you can argue about how much has disappeared. Colin Curry, who works at the National Seed Storage Lab, pointed out, he said, Bill, you can't count what you already lost. Right, so we don't know how much we've lost. There's estimates that 90% of the farms worldwide now, of the diversity in those farms is gone, even a generation ago. And so, you know, we live in an era where it's the local food movement. You were talking about the farmers markets have sprung up all over. Restaurants are differentiating themselves. They're using local food. All that local food in Arizona, almost all of it, doesn't use local seeds yet.
Right.
All those seeds are coming from some of them, even the certified organic ones are being contracted to be grown in China. Mm-hmm. We are so vulnerable on that level. We want local food for resilience. That's not resilience. And so that, again, is why the Great American Seed Up is so important.
Yep.
To get us kickstarted again around our own seeds and our own varieties that are adapted to where we are, to our flavors. So.